Well, good morning. Would you please stand up with me just for a moment? Good to see you out here this morning. The Holy Spirit is here.
Hallelujah.
And will be here in manifestation of His power. And we receive the breakthrough of His grace. It's going to be a breakthrough this morning in the hearts of people.
Yes.
And we just receive now to the glory of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen and amen.
Amen.
Oh, you may be seated. You may be seated. I'm not going to take a long time here other than I just want to say that again, God has specific things for specific, you know, for all of you. As I minister, the Holy Spirit is going to take some of the things I say, and if your heart, if you're open, it will have an effect or an impact on your heart. Okay, if you're just open to receive. Now, when I minister, I never say I guess so or I think so. I never minister that way. I give the facts, the truth. Okay, so I don't have to say, well, I think. You know, we know. When the Bible is taught properly, we know. So, let's just thank Him that He is going to, our text is, Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. And we have been talking about the new creation realities of our choosing, our identity, God's acceptance. These things are all things that you have to start to be established in before they would enhance your fellowship with God. Okay. Now, the biggest thing that everyone deals with, just like Chrissy or anybody else, is the idea of acceptance from God. We're going to talk about that just for a moment. So we're reading from, yeah, you can have that. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6 was our text. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, everybody say has. Okay, He has blessed us, past tense. This is, of course, these blessings are the work of redemption, of Jesus dying on the cross and what He provided there by dying on the cross, okay? So He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and of course they're spiritual blessings. They're not natural blessings. They're blessings that come from God, and they are outside of the world system. These blessings, of course, can't be stopped. Nothing can stop God but us from blessing us with them. And so they're blessings that He gave every believer. They're spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, that's not my message this morning, but let's go to the next verse. According as He has, and of course I went over Ephesians 1:4 quite extensively the week before last, not last week, but the week before last. I think I gave about 9 points on that, just that one verse, trying to teach you what it means to be chosen. Say, I'm chosen in Him. All right. This is where we struggle in self-rejection and acceptance from others, and we struggle for recognition, we struggle for acceptance, we struggle for to understand. We want to live a much deeper life than we do. and we want it to be much more meaningful than it is. And so we're going to talk about some of these new creation realities this morning. Okay, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. I dealt with all of that, the foundations, how the bloodline started from the beginning of creation and ran right down through to Christ, and now it goes on. But from the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, not last week, but the week before that, I did a powerful message on being chosen, okay? And so if you haven't heard it, get access to it. Okay, verse 5. Okay, having predestined us, okay, we were predestined before the foundation of the world. Number one, to adoption of children by Jesus Christ. So we were adopted by God the Father through Jesus Christ into the family of God. Okay. Now, if you're going to understand how God accepts you and how you can embrace that and put your faith in that, you have to realize you've been adopted. Okay. You didn't do it. Jesus did it. You might think that, you know, you're worthless or you're not wanted, but God paid a high price for your adoption. Amen. Think about spiritual blessings and how you can't put a natural price tag on them. Amen. You can't. Okay. Think about what God went through to adopt you. Think about how valuable as an eternal being you are to God. Okay, and that's not an exaggeration. I can't bring out enough the heart of God toward you and how special you are to him, or he would not have sent Jesus to die for you. Okay, this isn't an issue of pride. It's an issue of accepting God's acceptance for your life. We fight with rejection in so many different ways every day. We seemingly feel as though in many ways that we are falling short of God's glory. And Jesus, when he died on the cross, did not fall short of God's glory. We fall short of receiving God's glory in what he did through Christ towards us. Okay, we're the ones that, and I'm not accusing you, I'm just saying in our short-sightedness or blindness or lack of knowledge, we fall short of what God intended in redemption. Through redemption. We fall short of that because our minds are not renewed to the truth. All right? Okay. That's why it's so important we renew our mind to what does the Bible say. And these things that I'm saying today are important things, okay, that you need to know if you're going to make it through this world you know, the attacks of the enemy and everything else that takes place every day on a daily basis. So he predestined us. He did this before we were ever born. He chose us. We were in the heart of God. We were the ones that he wanted. We were the ones that he chose. Okay, it wasn't a random drawing. He identified you and saw you before you were born. Okay? Here's the bottom line. When you receive his love and that impacts your heart, what happens is that you someday you start to realize, I've got to love myself. Okay, is it bad to love yourself with God's love? Absolutely not. You are embracing His acceptance of you and your identity in Him. I'm embracing that. I've got to walk through a world full of rejection. I've got to overcome my own rejection, okay? That, you know, and that really at some point, you know, God will deal with you. That'll become a sin to reject yourself when Christ paid such a high price to accept you. Okay, we're going to see that in a moment. Having predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now, how did He adopt us? Okay, did He put us in an adoption home, or did He adopt us to Himself? Did he just choose us and then was impersonal? You know, like sometimes kids were put in a place, you know, because the parents didn't have time for them. Okay. In other words, it was a form of rejection. I think a lot of rejection that we suffer is probably, some of it's from our past, you know, relationships with our family and our parents and so on and so forth, where we've just haven't been given the real love that we needed. Okay, so anyway, in this, that Jesus Christ, adoption of children by Jesus Christ, say to Himself, He wanted us for Himself. He wanted that relationship. All right, this is not impersonal. This is serious. You know, you spend half your life not liking yourself, and you found out that you were adopted to be in His acceptance, His relationship, all right? So I'm beginning to, you know, I'm beginning to, there have been times I questioned, well, God, why did You create me, you know? And You could have done a better job, you know? Okay, let's go on here. According to the good pleasure of His will. Now, whether you realize it or not, God takes pleasure in you.
Amen. He does.
When God looks at you, He's happy about who He made you in Christ. Amen. He takes pleasure in you. Amen. All right. Now, think about a relationship where there's no meaningful pleasure or acceptance in that relationship. That's not really a relationship. Amen. All right. Until there's a meaningful relationship there where say God's pleased with me. God's pleased with me. Now, he doesn't accept everything you do. He isn't pleased with your sin. Okay, I don't mean it that way. But He's pleased with you. He's pleased with making you. He's pleased with the relationship that He has with you. Okay, He's happy about you. Okay, this is a real friendship now. This isn't something phony, you know. You're not being bought off by your politicians with the stuff they give you. Okay, we're talking about a real, we're talking about the most meaningful relationship that could ever exist.
Amen.
Let me just put it that way. Let's cut right to the,
Amen. Okay.
Now let's read this again. Having predestined us, say it with me, having predestined us. He didn't make a mistake unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ. God loves children. God loves His children. Amen. To Himself.
Amen.
To Himself.
Amen.
You know, somebody say, well, I know I'm redeemed. God chose me, everything. But, and then He forgot about me. No, the moment He chose you, He has never, you have been in his heart. As a matter of fact, it says that he, in somewhere in Scripture, in the book of Isaiah, it says that he puts your name, I wish I knew what that scripture was, on his hands. I never thought God had tattoos, but let me just say something. I always kind of thought tattoos were, you know, bad, and I think there is sometimes they are, okay. And so I'm not going to criticize anybody with tattoos, but I would never put them on my body. But God tattooed your name in his hands. You want to talk about identifying with you. You're tattooed. Okay. Somebody, if somebody can find that scripture, I think it's in the... Okay, could you stand up and just read that?
He called you out.
He did. And so God says about his people, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And he uses those words after that, your walls are continually before me. But, and then all goes on, he's saying to his people, I don't forget you, I'm committed to you.
There you go. Now, where are you engraved? Engraved. This is not painting. This is engraved in the palm of his hands. Hallelujah. I think that's a big deal. You know, and sometimes we struggle to find any reality, but we must anchor our soul in these new creation realities. All right, that you're chosen. Okay, say it, chosen.
Chosen.
Now, if you're going to enter a contest, you know, and you win, that's one form of choosing, okay? But that's not the same type of chosen when we're dealing with God, okay? So he's real happy with me when he looks at me, and I guess he's probably the only one that is, but that's okay. Let's go to the next verse here on this now. To the praise and glory of his grace. Okay, now what has his grace done? Why are we praising his grace? Why do we praise him for his grace? Why do we praise him for his grace? Okay, now wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Okay, he made us accepted in himself. He made us accepted, all right, in the beloved. Now, what do you think of that scripture? I think that we have something to praise God for when we think about God giving us the same acceptance that he accepted Jesus with. Hello, somebody. Sounds like a fantasy, doesn't it? I mean, it just doesn't sound like it's a reality, but it is. And let's go to verse 6. To the praise and glory of wherein he has made it. Okay, that's the... I think that's a big verse, okay. Adoption of children, chosen, then were adopted as his sons and daughters. He's not ashamed to call us his sons and daughters. Okay. You know, he saw a lot more in you and me than we would ever see. But he saw perfectly who he made you and why he made you. Okay, and the purpose that he made you for, okay, and then by God's grace he gives us a heart to know him. You know, morning doesn't go by, the Holy Spirit wakes me up and I pray. Sometimes I wake up real early and just lay there and pray in the Spirit. you know, just learning how to embrace and commune with God in the Spirit, okay? And that happens almost every morning, or even in the middle of the night, I'm communing with God and trying to enter into this relationship. Now, let's just real quick here. I read the opening. I want to talk about our royal bloodline. Okay, because 1 Peter 2:9. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:9, and then, of course, we're going to look at Revelation 3:9 and 10. We're a royal priesthood. Okay, now I didn't bring my little thing here this morning, collar. But you are, okay, here's the back to the teaching on being chosen, a chosen generation. Now, God has a generation outside of generations. You know, that's kind of the way I look at this. These are not earthly, this is not an earthly generation as such. It is us in the world, but so you, when you were born and when you were called by God, you know, you come to the truth that you were chosen for such a time as this. I don't know how long you're going to live, but you were chosen for the time period when you're in Christ as his generation to do his purpose and work in the world. You are a chosen generation, okay? A royal priesthood, we'll look at that. A holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, the word peculiar, of course, we see that from the book of Deuteronomy, where he called out a special chosen people. Actually, that word means that you were, you're highly precious to God. That word means you're his priceless. Listen. You know, you can't hear these words in earthly songs, but you are his priceless child. You are someone that God chose, intending you to be special to him. Now, you know, when people are unsaved, it's tough for God to relate to them in that respect. He loves them, but he doesn't have a relationship with them, all right? And so you're a special person. You are a person that was purchased by his blood. Okay, why would God purchase you by his blood and make you a priceless treasure? All right, think about it for a minute. So the word royal, let's make sure we read, to show forth a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's a lot in that verse, but the word royal means kingly. Okay, kingly. It is a priesthood that has been elevated, number one, to rule. So you are a royal priesthood. You have been put in a position elevated to rule and exercise priestly functions in coordination with the great high priest and King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, obviously, you were put in a position to rule over the powers of darkness. Okay. We have authority over them. Or we can allow them to take authority over us, either one. But if you know your authority, then you would never allow them to take authority over you, okay? Don't get me wrong, they attack with a vengeance. And then obviously we exercise priestly functions. We stand basically, not that we're a mediator, but we stand before God to receive his power to minister to man. Okay. That's a priestly function where, you know, you've got your card here that my wife set up to get us to pray every morning. That's a priestly function, to intercede in behalf of one another and the lost. That's a priestly function. Okay. So, you know, there's a lot in that. Let me just read it again. The word royal means kingly. A priesthood that has been elevated to rule and exercise priestly functions. So we're here in the earth to serve him and carry out his purposes in coordination with the great high priest, Jesus Christ. The image of royalty taken directly from 2 Peter 2:9 is supposed to remind us of our identity as sons and daughters of God, that we are heirs by Jesus Christ with unearned favor. Okay, it's hard to accept sometimes the unearned stuff because we couldn't possibly earn it, so Christ had to earn it for us, and we need to put our faith in what he has done. Okay, we need to put our faith in the fact that you are chosen. Okay. You are a royal priesthood. All right. You're royal. The image of royalty taken directly from 1 Peter 2:9 is supposed to remind us of our identity as sons and daughters of God, that we are heirs by Jesus' unearned favor and have been given authority to exercise his authority. And I think that would, when we think about exercising his authority, I think that would be a good lesson for us to go into. How do I exercise his authority? Why do I exercise his authority? How do I effectively yield to his authority in the earth? And I think that'd be a great teaching. And issue decrees of the kingdom and do God's business on earth. An earthly royalty, human. Now, I looked up bloodlines. I looked up, and I'm going to close here in a minute, but I looked up bloodlines. I looked up 7 bloodlines. And of course, one of them, of course, is the crown in England, and there were 6 other what they call royal bloodlines. Okay. And every one of them, of course, had wealth. They had earthly wealth. They had recognition. They had prominence. They had authority over people. But these bloodlines, every one of them, all 7 bloodlines, could never save a person from eternal death. They all fell short of an eternal bloodline. Christ provided an eternal bloodline. And that bloodline is the only one that can redeem. and provide the benefits of redemption. Okay, so, you know, it's a big deal there in England, and, you know, the Queen just died, and, you know, and now they've got somebody else in there. But there's nothing that the blood of that royal bloodline, it cannot, it falls short of the glory of God. As important as people make a bloodline. Okay. Your natural bloodline, you know, is important, you know. I mean, your biological bloodline. But if you were to apply your blood, it would fall short of redemption. So we issue decrees of the kingdom. We do God's business on earth. And earthly royalty, a human fails to provide, okay, an eternal consequence, all right. So don't make too big of a deal on what the world worships and make a big deal out of, because you've got a royal bloodline, okay. Just put it like this, you're royalty in plain clothes. Okay. When I die and you die, we have, when we think about promises, okay, the spiritual promises of God, one of them, of course, is some of those promises we will not realize until we go to heaven, so to speak. There's different kinds of promises. And then there's promises that they're for us, but they're for the future. Okay, God made promises to people, and he told Abraham he was going to have Isaac. Well, that took 25 years before that came to pass, and that had to be done in God's will. Okay, what I'm trying to say is that we always, if we will listen, there will always be a future. Okay, no matter what happens in the world, there will always be promises that God makes to us. Even if they could be temporal or they could be eternal, but they could affect the eternal. But you have a future because you have a God. And let me just say this. I didn't really get a chance to get into all this teaching, but let me just say something to you here for just a minute, okay? A lot of times we don't see, okay, or understand or connect with how God works, okay? And so we really don't, we're, sometimes we think, well, God, you know, where are you? Well, he can intervene in many different ways in our life, as you know, okay? And one of them is that he's at work constantly. And how is he at work that way? Okay, I think it's Romans. Okay, let me just... God showed me how he's at work constantly in my life. Okay. By making all things, say all things. Okay. All things. All things. Everything that your life is in and affected by, God makes all things to work. Okay, God is at work in that. In what's happening daily, momentarily, every day, every week, every year, everything that is happening to you, around you, God is at work. Say work. Now that's, I don't know what that means other than it's an action word. He's acting constantly on your behalf by making all things work out. Okay, he uses everything that happens in your life. And everything that happens is just like a team working together, say working together. That's why a house divided against itself cannot stand. God is big enough to take everything that happens in our life and cause it to work. He combines it. It's almost a miracle that he can take what we would call good and bad, you know, incidents that we think sometimes are bad. And they're really not. God is using them to work together for what? Our good. Think about it for a minute. Okay, what are you seeing out there in the future? Well, I see good. There have been times where I would have fainted had I not seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Okay. I don't know about you, but we're ordained for good. Now, sometimes we may not call things good that God calls things good. Okay, but take her cool. God's in control, and it's all working together. God is working together now and tomorrow. The events that he is working in will be for my and your good. Now that's to those that love God now and are what? Called according to his purpose. Now the bet's off for those that don't love God and are not called according to his purpose. People die in horrible ways. Okay. But for you and me, you can bet that the events that are occurring around us, against us or for us, are working for our good and his glory. Thank you, Lord, for working in my life right now. And I'm anticipating his good purpose to come out of it. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's stand up today. Thank you for your undivided attention. We are talking about the new creation reality of his acceptance, and we'll get into that a little bit more, not today, but his adoption, his choosing, his call to fellowship. His call to the work of the ministry in your life. And so tomorrow, when you have your prayer time, of course you realize that you're going to pray for unsaved loved ones. We're going to pray for one another, and we're going to pray for God to help us work in the ministry of reconciliation. So, hallelujah. Hallelujah.